I'm not exactly sure what that is. I mean, maybe it was a reaction to some of the music that I was hearing growing up that I was not so much a fan of. Some of the really bands with synthesizers and that kind of thing. And I liked the Allman Brothers. I liked Beatles and the Stones. And I just always gravitated towards sort of more organic music. And that led me to the blues and then rockabilly. You know, at that time, it was digging around in record shops and, you know, going through bins of records and looking at the covers. And to some degree, obviously, you didn't even know what it was until you took the chance. And if it looked good, you bought it and brought it home, you know, and then played it.
You know, at the time, that's when disco was emerging as a huge force. Is that kind of what you're getting at with the synth music?
Oh, yeah. You know, and the dance music and programmed drum beats and things, and that was just, you know, really the opposite of what appealed to me and the other guys.
And when the Cats hit it big in America, at the time it was, you know, the Police were big, Prince was big or becoming big, mm-hmm. and, you know, that whole sound, and you guys kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. Were you as surprised by your success as anybody else?
to that degree. You know, it was interesting. The band always, from day one, we were kids. We were 17 years old, 16 years old. We always connected with an audience wherever we went. We didn't know much at that age, being kids, but we knew that something clicked and worked and got people excited and got people on their feet. What we had no idea is how big it would actually go, though. We knew, you know, in a club or a bar or something, if there were 100 people, that they were going to love it. But the same kind of thing applied as things got bigger and bigger. And the Stray Cats took off quickly from when we started. I have to say, there was we moved from New York to London in the summer of 1980, just the three of us. And within, you know, 4 months or so of some real struggle, then the band started to really take off, and we got a record deal.
Well, I found a little place that really didn't look half bad.
Did you then, do you now, consider the Stray Cats what you're doing now, or even back in the 1950s? Was it as much punk as it is rockabilly? Or are those two terms almost synonymous?
I think they're almost synonymous, you know, because it's an attitude, and it, you know, it's the passion and the sweat you put into it. You know, I think rockabilly music was the original punk music. It was, you know, DIY, young people, kids, you know, we started in the garage like bands do, you know, but just putting yourself out there and just doing it and kind of learning as you go.
Starting with what you guys were doing in the 80s and then even today, clothing is a huge part of your stage show.
Yeah, well, it definitely is and has always been. I mean, rock and roll, I mean, it's that's a big part of it. It's who you are. It's music. It's the look. You know, going back and, I mean, the Ramones, you know?
Sure.
I had the Ramones haircut. You know, it's just, there's a component to it that is look and attitude.
So when you were starting to dig into rockabilly, where you're also digging into the people from the 1950s and early 60s, you know, whether it's Carl Perkins or, you know, Gene Vincent, anybody like that, were you digging into it as early as then?
Yes. I mean, probably the late 70s and definitely by the early 80s. You know, had a good understanding of the important figures in rock and roll, whether, you know, it's Elvis, Perkins, you know, Cash, Holly. For me in particular, there's a couple of people that I think sort of was a bridge there, especially Willie Dixon, who was a bass player, great blues man, writer, producer, sort of the one musically I'm closest to, you know, being the blues guy, but actually played bass with Chuck Berry on a lot of the early records.
Dead man kinfolk tracking me down, judge and the jury waiting in the town, footprints on the riverbank cover up my trail, ain't no way I'm gonna spend another night in jail.
got to play with Carl Perkins and a number of other folks, whether it's George Harrison, Ringo, Keith Richards. That must have been kind of a dream, kind of a thrill for you to do that.
Absolutely. Carl Perkins became a really good friend, and worked with him a lot over the years. You know, starting around 1983, I think I met him. But yeah, he invited me to do some TV specials along with Ringo and George Harrison and Eric Clapton. So we did a bunch of music together with those guys, and later on played on a record with him with Paul Simon and John Fogerty. So Carl was a dear friend, and we did a lot of gigs. We did a lot of recording. We actually did the soundtrack to Porky's Revenge.
Really?
So it's a classic. Yeah, so you got to look that one up.
I did not know that. You're on that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, did you ever talk to Carl about when at one point he was bigger than Elvis?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because it was, wasn't it? They go on the road, and early on, it was Elvis kind of opening for Carl Perkins, wasn't it?
Yeah. What took place is, I think it was the Sullivan Show was Carl was booked to be on it and do Blue Suede Shoes. And he got in a car crash and went up in the hospital and missed that opportunity that was really going to, sort of expose him to the national audience in a bigger way. But, oh, yeah, they were neck and neck, and Carl wrote Blue Suede Shoes, and Elvis had the hit with it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you got to play Carl's brother in the Broadway production of A Million Dollar Quartet.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience, actually. Being on Broadway in that kind of capacity as a musician / actor was a very, very cool thing for me to do. And it was something that I'd never really anticipated, but that show was really telling the story of early rock and roll at Sun Studios in Memphis. It's something that I'm so comfortable with. I don't think I would have been hired to do Apollo 13 on Broadway and have me play an astronaut, but to have me come on stage in a replica of Sun Studios and play bass and play Carl Perkins' brother, that was just right in my wheelhouse.
We just had a Million Dollar Quartet come through town a couple of months ago here.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was. Rave reviews. Did you get a chance to act in a way of Carl's brother, Jay?
It was an acting gig to a nice degree with lines and comments and quips on stage. And it was a fun gig, I have to say. Something that I've never gotten to do before. So that was great.
What did you get out of that?
I just really dug it. It was really just something that I wanted to do and wanted to help tell that story. So that was a blast.
Well, I'm going to go back to almost where I started from and the whole blues rockabilly that you dug in. Professionally, musically, you went into more of a rockabilly sound. Why that and not maybe more of a blues sound?
It just sort of evolved in that direction. And, I love the blues, but the more rockin' end of it is just more upbeat and just a little more exciting in a certain sense to me. And I've always continued down that road, with records I've done with the Stray Cats, with music I've written, with solo records, always maintains some degree of that kind of root, some albums more than others. But I think it's probably the upright bass and certain grooves and tempos that leans towards. And then try to take that and put other things into it, put my own stamp on it.
It's got to help when you play. It almost always puts either a smile on someone's face or gets them out dancing or both,
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm a rolling stone, alone and lost, from a life of sin. Well, I paid the